The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, welcome back to the show. I hope you had a great weekend. And if you've been listening to the show for more than a couple years, about 2.5 years ago, I had a chance to go on a trip to Israel with our then Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest and a bunch of pastors, and we spent about 9 days on the ground over there. And I recorded several shows from different parts of Israel as we were touring through Jerusalem, but also other parts of Israel. And that was one of those things you always hear that will completely change your understanding of reading the Bible. It'll give you a context you otherwise cannot have. And it certainly did, and so I've been much more sensitive over the last couple of years to what's going on in not only Israel, but specifically in Jerusalem. And as we've seen under the Trump administration, not so much with the new administration, but certainly under the Trump administration with the Abraham Accords, we saw just some amazing things happening over in the Middle East. And of course, Israel being at the epicenter of all of that. That's why Joel Rosenberg, the New York Times bestselling author, has been on the show many, many times, and we have him on a few times a year, and he really just is in a unique position over there now and actually lives in Jerusalem. So we have a chance every once in a while to talk to people that are on the ground and doing things that I want you to be aware of. And for us as Christians living in America, things that we should be aware of and opportunities that come our way. And today, live from Jerusalem, which is super cool. If you're on Facebook Live or YouTube Live, Jason's waving right there. That's Jason Glick, who's the founder of Temple Coins. That's temple-coins.com, investing in the Holy Land and God's chosen people. And a shout out to my buddy David for connecting us. Jason, how are you today? Good to see you.
Hi, how are you doing? Great, thank you.
You're very welcome. Thanks so much for being with us. I asked
it's
you this earlier. What time is it? It's a little.
It's far past 11.
Okay. So we're keeping you up past your bedtime. So thank you so much.
Way far.
Fascinating. Amen. It's a fascinating business and such an interesting topic where Jason has started Temple Coins as a way to mint these beautiful coins that are all pregnant with meaning, whether it's the Abraham Accord or things that the Mossad has been involved in, catching Adolf Eichmann, which you may know that or seen the movie, The Raid on Entebbe, the King David half shekel. How did you decide to get into this? This is such a fascinating calling.
So I think, first of all, Steve, thank you so much for having me on the show. It's wonderful to be on the show and to connect with your users. And obviously, we have a great connection in the fact that we both love and cherish Israel as a country and what it stands for and what it does.
Yes.
And I think that was one of the reasons why it was created. I'm South African, as you can hear. And my family made an active decision 15 years ago to leave South Africa and come and move to Israel. And we have a love of South Africa, but as well as an intense love for Israel. And we want to make Israel our home. And two or three years ago, I saw an opportunity in connecting people around the world with relevant events that are happening in Israel and with Israel, because I believe that Jewish history and a lot of world history is going to be written now in Israel and what's going on. And we really found that certain geopolitical events were happening and people wanted to support it, wanted to connect to it, wanted to be part of it and didn't know how to. You know, there's a connection of a physical connection, there's a connection of a spiritual connection, there's a connection of just saying, I want to be part of this whole thing that's going on. And it actually started, the very, very first thing that happened that kind of got us off our seats was when President Trump at the time moved the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And in that point in time, for ourselves, it was like, you know, it was almost that the world, and obviously America spearheading it, was recognizing concretely that Jerusalem was the capital of the Jewish people, and it was never going to change. And we minted a coin called the Temple Coin, which is why we called Temple Coins. And it was essentially about the temple and Jerusalem, and it was cementing the relationship that Jerusalem is and for always will be in our hearts, and now also in the eyes of the world, the capital of of the Jewish people and what is now Israel. And in truth, at the point in time, it wasn't really a business. It was kind of just like giving people a way to connect.
Yeah.
And we saw, wow, there's so many people that just want to connect with what's going on in Israel and the events that are going on. And there are so many amazing things that are happening. So that was kind of the kicker that kicked it off. And the support that people showed us, and we connected. What we did with that money is we gave that money, the initial money from the coins, we gave that money to different charities in Israel. Because at the time it wasn't a business, it wasn't a for-profit business. But we saw that, wow, there's a way to have a business, connect people to Israel, allowing people to support what's going on in Israel, and also give them a physical memento that they can show and have and love, you know, around the world. Not everyone like yourself was privileged enough to be able to come to Israel.
Right.
And this is a way of them having like their little piece of the Holy Land sitting in their living room, as well as a show of faith and support with an amazing event that happened. So it kind of had like all of the meanings that you kind of want rolled into one, and people connected to it. And that led us into the start of the business. And from then, you mentioned some of them. From then, we started looking at different events that have shaped Jewish history over the last, 3,000 years, but have somehow mirrored themselves over the last 50 years. And we kind of said, okay, well, we want to allow people to be part of that. And we started to look at building a for-profit business that still has, I call it social capitalism, that the business is obviously for-profit, but the majority of the money goes into social ideas and social runnings, which means we do make money, but we give a lot of money, a much greater percentage back to the community to forward the ideals of what we're doing. So some of the examples.
Yeah, hold that thought. Yeah, we'll do that. So hold that thought, because we're going to come up on a break here real quick. But one of the things that's interesting for us as Christians in America, as we look halfway around the globe to see what's going on in Israel and Jerusalem, you know, for years, Jason, it was almost nothing but bad news. There's so many things that were happening in the Middle East that people would talk about peace in the Middle East. And over here in America, we'd kind of shake our heads and go, yeah, wait till Jesus comes back and kind of write it off. But in the Trump administration in particular, when we saw the Abraham Accords, and those things were just absolutely staggering to consider what was happening in the Middle East, and obviously Israel being at the center of that, all of a sudden we started to turn our eyes back towards our Jewish ancestry for us as Christians in America. That's why this is such a fascinating topic. We're talking to Jason Glick, the founder of Temple Coins, temple-coins.com. We'll talk to you about some of the actual coins. Jason has some of the coins right there in his home. He's going to show us those and how this is affecting people in Israel. What's the reaction there? And why do we need to keep an eye on Israel? We'll continue to talk about that. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. Stay with us. We'll pick it up there with Jason when we come back from Jerusalem. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Hope you had a good weekend. Great to have you back talking to Jason Glick today, the founder of Temple Coins. Fascinating endeavor over there. Actually, live from Jerusalem, temple-coins.com. I've got the links up on Facebook Live today, so you can check that out. And Jason staying up past his bedtime for us. And I've actually had a chance. I broadcast from the Middle East. I actually broadcast a show several years ago, Jason, from Northern Iraq. I was using a radio studio in Northern Iraq, and I was on a mission trip, and then recorded several shows while I was in Jerusalem. And then the first time the New York Times bestselling author Joel Rosenberg was on the show, he was calling from Jerusalem, and now to have you there as well. We really appreciate you staying up late and being a part of it. It's really awesome.
Fantastic to be here. Thank you.
Well, let's go through some of these coins. And by the way, folks, you can go check these coins out for yourself. And we were talking with Jason on the break about all the historic things that have happened in the last 5 years. And not to get too political, but when you think about the effect and the partnership that Donald Trump had with Israel, and then to see the Abraham Accords and those types of peace agreements between Israel and Arab nations was absolutely shocking. And this and these coins are a way for those of you that pay attention and appreciate these things, and we all should as Christians, man, really a way to commemorate that and kind of remember it and use it as a talking point for us as Christians to remember our heritage, because our heritage goes all the way back to Israel. It's going to end up there again. And so this is something that should stay on our radar screen. But take us through some of these coins, Jason. For those of you on Facebook and YouTube, you'll be able to see these.
I don't want to take up too much of your time, and obviously you can go onto the website and see it. But three coins that we're exceptionally proud of is one is the Abraham Accord coin. which is a coin that we made when the Abraham Accord was signed, which, if you remember, was signed last year around this time, September this time, and it's actually been increased to include Morocco and other countries at the moment.
Yeah.
But it was for the first time in the history of the Jewish people for over 2,000 years that a peace agreement was signed with an Arab nation, not after a war. So it's a peace agreement not under the terms of war, and Donald Trump was very much part of it, and you can see the flags of the countries and the coins, and this coin actually won, the person who designed this coin, Aaron Shfor, has won a number of awards from the Israeli Mint to have this coin. So this coin is one of our favorites because it launched in a geopolitical environment.
And that one's obviously interesting compared to the other ones too, Jason. That one's interesting because of the color of the flags. Because all the other coins have colors on it, but that one does. What are the two flags on there?
Got the flag of, this is obviously the Israeli flag and the flag of the UAE, the Dubai and the UAE flag, the United Arab Emirates flag.
And you mentioned
a beautiful coin, and it has like a sword. It's quite difficult to see it on the camera. It has
a
sword of the Hajj, and it, we actually took quite a lot of flack from a lot of people that didn't like the fact that things joined or whatever. But it was an amazing time in Israel to actually see the reality of peace in our times. You know, often we speak in schools and in churches about peace in our time, and we want peace, and we strive for peace, and we act for peace, and we work for peace. This is a physical part of it. Obviously, we spoke about the temple that started when Donald Trump moved the embassy to Jerusalem. And one of our last series of coins is someone developed the smallest Bible in the world, which was 5 millimeters by 5 millimeters in size. And we made a coin that included the smallest Bible in the world that people can essentially walk around holding the whole Old Testament in their hands, just to have a feeling of Israel with it. So these are the type of coins that we try and create to really allow someone to connect to Israel and the Holy Land. It's our product is for someone that wants to support what's going on, that has an affinity for the love of Israel and what's going on, and want to physically have a connection with what's going on here, and obviously have a memento of it in their dining rooms, in their lounges, and things like that. So that's where our market sits in who's our market.
And how do you in terms of the people that are getting these coins to commemorate and remember and to celebrate really many of these things? Because one of the other aspects of it that you had several coins there that involved just some of the kind of mission activities of the Mossad and the Israeli military. That was really fascinating as well.
So that was a line that I was very close to. It's actually a whole line of Israel's top missions from the start in 1948 that shaped different major historical events. You know, not dissimilar to America, like you'd have like a Thanksgiving or, you know, the shuttle launch. You know, things that really shaped American history. I obviously personally have affinity for the Israeli Defense Force, and we took 10 very famous missions of the Israeli Defense Force, and we put the entire story of that mission on a coin. It's actually got the coin's an amazing coin that it tells the entire story, like you said, of Raider and Tebby, you know, which afterwards there was a movie with Chuck Norris called Delta Force that we made on a similar movie. And there was obviously the Eichmann trial, which was Jewish history with regards to the Holocaust and the capturing of Eichmann, which was a major player in the Holocaust. It was when we blew up the nuclear reactor in Iran, and all different famous Israeli missions that have really shaped Israeli society, both culturally and very practically as well. So that was kind of a little bit of a digression in terms of our thing, but I felt it was very important to also celebrate certain of the activities that the Israeli Defense Force had done over time. So I made this range of coins that allowed for the entire story to be told of those coins.
Do you find over there, Jason, having lived there for a while, Jason and his wife moved there from South Africa, do you find, like, one of the challenges we have in America is we tend to either forget our history or some people, political forces, politically driven, change our history. Do you find that's an issue over there? And how does Temple Coins help Jewish people in particular kind of remember these important aspects of their heritage?
So first of all, I think that struggle, every country has the same struggle, and every people do, because there's the push for the new and the old.
Yeah.
I do think that Israel is still a very young, new country. And one of the things that we at Temple Coin have tried to do is with every one of our coins, we've tried to incorporate old and new together. So like an example, first of all, I very much adhere to it. And I think that you know, you can only go forward if you're able to look back. So if you don't know on the shoulders of who you climbed,
yeah,
you're kind of only belittling those behind you. You know,
Great point.
Generally, I think people forget the fact that they're always standing on someone else's shoulders and don't forget Yurtle the turtle, if you want to use a different thing. So we always in our coins, like an example, in our temple coins, we also commemorate Cyrus, which was a non-Jewish Cypriot or Greek emperor at the time that did the same thing as Donald Trump. He was the other leader 500 years ago that recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. So yeah, we try, even in our coins, bring the old and the new together to make sure that we recognize and love our history, and make sure it stays as present and in our hearts as possible, but embracing with what's going on right now and making sure that we can live in today's world.
Yeah, such a great point. Well, we're coming up on Thanksgiving, a time to be thankful and to look back, as well as Christmas. So how can people take advantage of what's going on there at Temple Coins and check it out for themselves?
So we'd love everyone to go to Temple Coins, which is www.temple-coins, and buy, purchase, support, comment. You know, again, and it's a business that's very much, for me, close to my heart. I wish for it to be as big as possible so I can grow Israel's connection to the world and allow everyone to have a little bit of a connection with the world. So there's a altruistic value in it, and I think I'm extremely lucky because not everyone has the privilege of working in a business that they love what they do, and it has an element of altruism in it as well. So you can be very proud of the fact that it's for profit, because it's doing good while it's for profit.
Yeah, what a great point. Jason Glick, founder of Temple Coins, temple-coins.com. Jason, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for the time.
Lovely to be with you. Have a great day.
Thanks. You do the same. That was Jason Glick, live from Jerusalem, temple-coins.com. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Oh, angels sent from above. You know you make my world light up. When I was down, when I was hurt, you came to me. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Make sure you get your fill this week of the show, because the Noble family's heading out of town for Thanksgiving. We're going to leave next Tuesday. We'll be back the following Saturday, God willing. So I might have a guest host. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with next week yet, but I'll be in on Monday, but I'll be gone Tuesday through Friday. So congratulations. You've probably earned a break. So I think that I have. So I'll be gone for Thanksgiving. I will do on Monday. I wrote something years ago, 66 things to be thankful for from the Bible, and go through the 66 books of the Bible, and something specific that kind of captures the essence of that particular book in the Bible, and a list of 66 things to be thankful for from the 66 books of the Bible. I do that every year around Thanksgiving. I also just open the phones up and ask people to call in and share what they're thankful for since last Thanksgiving, and be specific, not a Sunday school answer. You can't call in and say Jesus, even though that's valid. I want you to be a little more specific. Okay, something the Lord has really shown you or taught you or done in your life specifically in the last year. And so we'll do that probably on Monday as well, but I'll be gone next Tuesday through Friday. So I'm not sure if my buddy Pastor Chris Connell will be back in. We'll figure that out. But I'll let you know before the end of the week, and we'll get that set up. Okay, a few different stories I wanted to go through here today on this break. And then we'll talk to David Fisher for a Money Monday update at the end of the show, the last segment of the show. But this one's huge, okay? This is kind of all COVID stuff here. This one's huge. This happened just Friday night. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals has blocked Joe Biden's coronavirus vaccine mandate in a ruling that was late Friday night, calling it, listen to this, quote-unquote, staggeringly overbroad. The three-judge panel in New Orleans ruled that Biden's mandate grossly exceeds OSHA's statutory authority, because he doesn't have any way to enforce this. Okay, the president of the United States cannot do that. All right. So writing that, rather than a delicately handled scalpel, the mandate is a one-size-fits-all sledgehammer that makes hardly any attempt to account for differences in workplaces and workers. I have friends that have had to get a religious exemption. One of them, praise the Lord, got one. I got the go ahead on his religious exemption just the other day. That he works remotely. I know other people that work remotely, don't go in, aren't going in for the next 12 months by design of their job, and they had to get the vaccine mandate. They had to deal with that. It's shocking. that have more than a little bearing on workers' varying degrees of susceptibility to the supposedly grave danger the mandate purports to address. This is coming from the three-judge panel of the New Orleans Appellate Court. Okay, this Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. This is a big deal. There's only one stop ahead of that, friends. There's only one more stop for the Biden administration if they want to keep fighting this, and that would be the United States Supreme Court. And part of me would love to see it go there, and part of me is terrified to see it go there for obvious reasons, because I don't think you can count on them one way or the other. The court stayed the mandate in a ruling last Saturday, writing that there were potentially grave statutory and constitutional issues with the mandate. White House Press Secretary, Deputy Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre responded to the ruling on Monday by today by saying that the Biden administration's message to businesses that fall under the mandate is that they should not wait to implement the measure. Well, of course. They shouldn't wait. Really? Really? Is that the deal? No, don't wait. Don't worry about the legality of it. Don't worry about the constitutionality of it. Don't worry about any of that stuff. Don't wait for that kind of stuff to get cleared out. What you need to do is just go get the vaccine. That's it. And then of course, go get the booster, right? All that kind of stuff. That's what's going on out there. And you have to pay attention to this. This is an actual excerpt from the stay out of the Fifth Circuit. I'm pulling it up right quick, and I'll share it with you. We next consider the necessity of the mandate. The mandate is staggeringly overbroad, applying to two out of three private sector employees in America in workplaces as diverse as the country itself. The mandate fails to consider what is perhaps the most salient fact of all. The ongoing threat of COVID-19 is more dangerous to some employees than to other employees. Wow! Look at that. The appellate court is following the science, unlike the federal government. All else equal, a 28-year-old trucker spending the bulk of his workday in the solitude of his cab is simply less vulnerable to COVID-19 than a 62-year-old prison janitor. Likewise, a naturally immune unvaccinated worker... Whoa, what did they just say? A naturally immune unvaccinated worker, because they got it and got over it, is presumably at less risk than an unvaccinated worker who has never had the virus. The list goes on, but one constant remains. The mandate fails almost completely to address or even respond to much of this reality and common sense. That's the Fifth Circuit Court, okay? The only stop next would be the United States Supreme Court, okay? So, wow, common sense in quote-unquote science, hashtag science. Which leads me to this. This was from the Federalist. I saw this the other day. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, has admitted, listen to this, it has no record, none, zero, zip, nada, no, zero, okay? No record of an unvaccinated person spreading COVID after having previously recovered from the virus. That would be yours truly. I got it. I recovered from it. So what they're saying, and there's over 140 million people in America, by the way, that story just came out. Over 140 million people in America have gotten it and gotten over it. So there's science, hashtag science, on that. But the federal government is going to go there because this is the giant grift, the giant virtue signal. The game is afoot and has been. The admission from the government agency came in response to a September Freedom of Information Act request from a New York attorney who asked the CDC to provide documents reflecting any documented case of an individual who, one, never received a COVID vaccine, that's me, two, was infected with COVID-19 once, recovered, and then later became infected again, that's not me, I got it once, but I haven't been infected again, and three, transmitted COVID-19 to another person when reinfected. In its response, the CDC said that a search of its records failed to reveal any documents pertaining to the attorney's request. The CDC Emergency Operations Center conveyed that this information is not collected. Really? Why is that? You believe that? Are you listening to what's going on there? Are you listening? Because this is shocking information. Here's something on Zero Hedge. How about this? Talking about worldwide vaccination failures. So Singapore. Okay, deaths are hitting a new high in Singapore, even though 85% of the population is fully vaxxed. Okay, the entire population, not just adults. Okay, Dutch, same problem. They're running into the same problem. Vermont, the most vaccinated American state, 71% fully vaccinated, smashed highs for cases. And their 7-day average, what's going on there? And it goes on and on and on. That's why you have to pay attention to the numbers. Don't pay attention to the propaganda or the political science. You got to pay attention to the actual science. And then there's this one. I was heartened by this. Oklahoma National Guard goes rogue. Sounds like a movie, doesn't it? Goes rogue after new commander rejects vaccine mandate. Pentagon to respond, quote-unquote, appropriately. The Biden administration is having another bad week. One day before an appeals court upheld a stay against Biden's vaccine or test requirement for private businesses, the Oklahoma National Guard rescinded the Pentagon's requirement that service members receive the COVID-19 vaccine. Federalism. I love it. On Wednesday, Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt announced Army Brigadier General Thomas Mancino as the state's new adjunct general, replacing Army Major General Michael Thompson, a vaccine advocate who was previously scheduled to transfer command to Mancino on January 15, 2022, according to the Oklahomian. His first order of business, a memo formally rescinding the COVID-19 vaccine requirement for guardsmen. Quote, no Oklahoma guardsmen will be required to take the COVID-19 vaccine, it reads, adding that Governor Stitt is the force's lawful commander-in-chief when not mobilized by the federal government. Boom! Because details matter, right? No negative administrative or legal action will be taken against guardsmen who refuse the COVID-19 vaccine. I love this story. Don't you? When reached for comment, the Pentagon said they would respond appropriately to the memo. We are aware of the memo issued by the Oklahoma Adjunct General regarding COVID vaccination for guardsmen and the governor's letter requesting exemption. We will respond to the governor appropriately, Pentagon spokesman John Kirby told Axios in a statement, adding, quote, that said, Secretary Austin believes that a vaccinated force is more ready for, see, change the subject, see that. Stitt had previously requested that the Department of Defense not enforce the mandate on the state's Army and Air National Guard members. And in a November 2nd letter cited by Mancino, Stitt said that 10% of the state's troops had refused the vaccine and that the mandate was irresponsible, according to the Army Times. Here's what it says. Although National Guard troops do belong to their governors when not mobilized by the Pentagon, federal requirements often supersede any state use of the Guard, as senior leaders often emphasize. That's because the vast majority of Guard funding, training, and equipment comes from the federal government. It's not clear yet whether the order will jeopardize that funding. Now they're going to punish members of the military? Financially? We won't supply you unless you get the vax? What happened to the science? It's not about science. It's about power and control, friends. You got to remember that. The Stitt administration is confident that they have the authority to defy the Biden administration, as top spokesperson Charles Hanema told the Army Times that the, quote, only way Oklahoma would forfeit any federal funding for failing to comply with Title 32 would be to ignore the lawful order of the duly elected civilian authority, i.e. the governor of Oklahoma. Boom! Not the president of the United States. This is so important that you have to understand your rights. You have to understand the law. Adjutant general, not adjunct. I got to work on my military terminology. We'll be right back.
There's a man going around.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Glad you're here. Hope you had a great weekend. And we're going to turn the corner now and talk to our good friend David Fisher. This actually came up yesterday when I was in church. My wife and I were in church, and the pastor was talking about Bible's teaching on tithing. And he was talking about, hey, you know, Jesus talked more about money and possessions in the New Testament than he did anything else. Because I think God probably understands that most of us struggle with it in one way or another, either the accumulation of it or not caring for it, what we do with it. So the issue of money and possessions, very important in the scriptures, which is why we talk about it regularly with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. As always, David, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on your program, Steve.
You're welcome. Well, I'm going to interrupt after you do the scripture, and then I've got a prayer request that we'll pray together. You're not aware of it, but you will be when I tell you. So I want to take I'll pray, but I'll make it brief. But let's start with Psalm 3. We always start in the scripture on our Money Monday updates, and then we'll move forward from there.
Psalm chapter 1, verse 3 says, I will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. So those that are hearing my voice today, are you going through a season where you feel like you're not progressing in the Lord, or you're not doing anything phenomenal, or you're just wondering if you're in God's will even? If you are planted in Christ, we're going to go through these seasons where there's no fruit. A tree has to have no fruit, and then it goes through the the dormant stage, and then it goes through producing the buds, and so there's different seasons. So be of good cheer that God still has a plan for you, and He's still on the throne. It's just you're not producing fruit right now, but there's nothing wrong with that. It might not be nothing to do with sin or anything like that. It's just God's plan, and this is where it causes us to push into Him when we're in those types of seasons.
Yeah, what a great point. And I'm a big believer in the seasonal aspect of our walk with Christ. I talk about it pretty often, David, just in regular conversations as well as on the air. And seasons come and seasons go. And we're moving into winter, at least up here, not down there so much in Arizona. But we're moving into winter, and you go, oh, the days are shorter. It gets dark at 5:30. It's so cold. I was cold this morning. I got up, and I'm like, yeah, but I don't lose my mind about it because I know it's just a winter season. Winter seasons come and they go. And the spring is around the corner, and the same is true in our lives as we go through seasons of productivity in the Lord, whatever else you may want to talk about. And then other seasons where it's not. And just like you said with the fruit tree, that's the perfect example. Our mutual friend TJ Rendell, who's also in the financial business, and we reference TJ. He's got a lot of great one-liners. He's usually a part of the audience on Mondays, but he had open heart surgery on Friday, David, and they said He was literally just one event away from just a ticking time bomb in his chest. So he's recovering. It was successful, but he's in a lot of pain. So I know that you would join me in a prayer for him as we've prayed for you and your health situation and your wife as well. So I'll pray for TJ right quick, and then we'll get back to the rest of our topics for today. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you that we can come to you with all of our needs and desires and the things that are on our heart. Yes. Lord, we pray for our brother TJ, and we thank you, Lord, that you're the great physician. We thank you that he came through the surgery successfully, Lord, but we know he's in a tough recovery and physical therapy and pain, so we just pray you would strengthen him and comfort him, give him your peace that surpasses all understanding, and pray that you'd give him a full physical recovery and just strengthen him in the spirit, Lord. Thank you for his friendship and his wisdom, mm-hmm. and we pray blessings over him and his family in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, thanks, pal. I appreciate you letting me interrupt like that. This is an interesting point that you sent me. Any headlines that could cause headwinds in the economy? I'm thinking, are there any headlines that are not causing headwinds? So let's talk about that first.
Let me see if I can come up one that's not. How about just a few that are? Like the largest meatpacking plant has having massive labor shortages, which is going to cause higher prices in food in meat. How about this one? America's shortage in truck drivers, 80,000 of them. We had a shortage of 61,000 before the pandemic. We currently got 81,000. It takes 4 to 6 weeks to get a truck driver, and we need about 1 million of them in the next 5 years to replace the ones that are retiring. So that's a big deal. Talking about trucks, how about cars? Used car prices are soaring. It went up. Think about this. Used cars going up 38.1% in a year. That's the Manhattan U.S. Vehicle Value Index. Cars run on gas. There's a report that I just read this morning. We're currently at $80 a barrel. They're calling for $300 an oil per barrel price. It's insane. We're going to have higher prices through wages, through cost of living, through energy. And definitely inflation is still here, in my opinion, and many others. So not too many great headlines out there that says everything's going to be great.
And the higher prices, and that's why and this stuff can move quickly. That's why probably it'd be a good idea to do your Christmas shopping now, besides supply chain stuff and those types of issues. I was doing most of our Christmas shopping I did over the weekend online, and we need to be paying attention to this. And when you say higher prices, isn't that kind of inflation by definition?
Yeah, absolutely. That is inflation by definition. And, the government is saying we're going to have higher prices. Medicare premiums are setting to soar. Part B is going to go up 8.7%. Part A is going to go up 9.5%. The annual deductible is going to go up 12.9%. Bottom line, there's a 14.5% jump in medical premiums happening. But they say, don't worry. This just came out. Don't worry. Social Security is going to go up, but it's only going to go up 5.9%. Again, support and wages go up less than the cost of living. And the IRS is... Go ahead.
Yeah, it seems like the government's downplaying this all over the place. Even gas prices, which are hitting regular Americans, lower-income Americans, right in the pocketbook, they're just kind of brushing this off. Is there really anything that the government or the Federal Reserve can do to curtail inflation at this point, or is this just a runaway train?
Well, the Fed has been spending months denying the existence of inflation and defying what Americans are saying, you know, every day in front of them in their checkbook. The government's brushing it off, too, as transitory or temporary. But ironically, inflation is here. It's not transitory anymore. It's the highest persistent on record. We're in 1982 inflation right now, the numbers are. Bank of America reported that permanent inflation indicator, it's an index, just hit 96 out of 100. So it's right there, and the transitory inflationary number is at 100 for the seventh consecutive month, because we've been having the CPI number go up every month for 9 months. So we got both going on, but I think the inflation is here to stay. It's not going away, and we're going to have higher prices, which is going to cause more inflation because we're spending more. The government's spending more, and the Fed's still, you know, printing more.
Yeah, it's really a vicious cycle at this point, which is why we all need to be paying attention to this topic and this issue, because it's only going to get worse before it has any chance of getting better. I don't even know what better, how you would define that in the near future, or even in the long term. Interesting to look at gold and silver. Gold had the best week in 5 months. Is that right?
Yep. It went up 5.4% last week. Silver, since the beginning of November, went up 6.2%. Frank Holmes, he's a CEO investment officer for U.S. Global Investors, said we're just getting started in this inflationary environment. Gold is getting ready to take off. I said on your program a couple months ago, that gold and silver is getting ready to make a fundamental shift. It has now shifted. Now we're seeing it, why we had this move. And there was a survey out on Wall Street and Main Street about where gold is going. Wall Street, this is very shocking. Wall Street, 83% of the investors are bullish on gold. Main Street, 71%. So we're definitely having more rising inflation, definitely higher prices in metals. We're just getting started.
And really, fundamentally, because gold and silver, precious metals, operate as a hedge, right? Is that fundamentally why that happens?
Absolutely. So, you know, it's acting just like it did in the 70s, the first part of inflation, gold and silver didn't move, stocks did. And then there was a shift about 1975. Stocks started to slow down and then go down, and gold started making, and silver started making some big moves. And we are right now in 1975 with those markets, and we had a five-year big run. Gold went up 500%. Silver doubled that. So, you know, if you believe we're going to have more inflation, now is the time to learn about this and get a packet from our company. You can buy gold or silver through your IRA, 401k, and take physical possession. You also can buy it over the counter. We'll help you understand all of it, because we're big on education and strategy.
Yeah, and to go back to my typical word pictures, you know, you think about a sailboat, and the sail and the keel underneath, they have different purposes. They have different jobs. The sail on top is capturing the winds. That's like your regular stock investments. But you got to have a keel on the bottom for when the winds get a little crazy. What's going to balance the boat? And that's the whole point of getting that type of education. And how do people get that information, David? Because I know for a lot of people, they're like, I don't really understand how this works.
Well, the simple way is calling our company at 844-604-2575. I'll say it slower. 844-604-2575, or they can go to our website at landmarkgold.com.
And is it super complicated? Because I know before we ever did radio, because I didn't understand it myself, you were kind enough to take me through it on several phone calls, but it's not super complicated. I just want people to get concerned that they won't be able to understand it.
It's really easy. We draw this out together in about 30 minutes, and their eyes are fully open. No more than 95% of the people out there that want to invest in gold or already have. So it's really easy to understand, and people say that.
That's awesome. And again, that website is landmarkgold.com. David, as always, thank you, my brother, for bringing your expertise. I appreciate you. God bless you. We'll talk to you soon.
God bless you. Remember to pray for TJ.
Amen. Pray for TJ. Thanks, pal. Appreciate you. We'll talk soon. And TJ's a friend of mine. We went to high school together. And, hey, listen, prayer requests, you just bring them up. And bring them up when they come up. Pray right then and there. So if you think about it, pray for our friend TJ. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.